out on the book table, one of the books I wrote back in 20, when was it? Maybe 2015, 2014? Man, I don't know when it was. Maybe it was earlier than that. Let me look at the copyright. Hold on. We finished Prosperity's Seven-Link Chain. And that's one of the books on the book table. Of course, all the books out there are good. It looks, it's kind of exciting that the pastor wrote books that you can buy. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I didn't hear much hooting and hollering earlier when Joni mentioned that there's a table. We're not trying to make money. We're not doing it for that reason. It's because I know a lot of people have come to church since we published all the books. Back when each book we published, people were excited about it because we'd preached on it. And they're like supporting and excited. But new people that have come to church since don't realize that those are exciting. I mean, one of them is even in Barnes and Nobles. I mean, it was so exciting back when we first did God Why that the whole church was excited about it. I mean, the cheers went up to God. Amen. Not that I'm looking for cheers, but there are important concepts in there. Okay, so here's the one on prosperity. And if you look over there at the back door, the ushers have blocked the door. Because we know how the initial feeling is when you think somebody's going to talk about money. But this is one of those books that will help you get a good feeling about God and money and the Bible and preachers. Because I think the reason that it's one of those scary topics, it's like we don't know what's happening behind the office with money. It could be something wrong. There could be some sort of somebody stealing money or trying to squeeze money out of the people. I understand why that feeling occurs in the body of Christ, but we try not to let it occur here. Amen. We do everything above board, and everything we do about money is biblical. And so I want to talk about it today, if you don't mind. Amen. Because there's more in the Bible about money than there is about heaven and that there is about hell. And the reason that God said a whole bunch of things about money is so that you and I do it right. Because you could be corrupt in your own domestic personal life concerning money. You could have some wrong thinking about money. We have to learn how to do money right. And Christians have, we have potential to actually do money right. We grew up in the world, we didn't all do money right, but now we can learn how to, number one, think about it. Number two, earn it. Be honest about it. Then how to give it right, how to save it right, how to invest it right, how to think of it right, how to use it as a tool instead of something to hoard, how to not be fearful of it, how to not be fearful if you don't have it, how to not be scared if you do have it, how to not look at the outside world to determine what happens with your money. How to not let possessions determine what you do with your money. How to not let desires determine what you do with your money. But how to follow principles concerning your money. Principles are the key to the whole thing. If we honor God with our money, everything is taken care of. You understand? It's when we hold back. It's when we pull back in letting God speak into our lives concerning money. Now this has got seven links in the chain. Everybody familiar with the chain that has links in it? Have you ever seen a chain that had a weak link? If it has a weak link and you notice it, man, you can't pull too hard. Or if the link is broken, your chain is broken. So this chain is what connects the believer, the Christian, to God for prosperity. Don't you want to be connected to God concerning money? Don't you want Him to be your source where He is able to supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Don't you want to be connected to Him in the money realm? Well, I found seven principles, seven categories that pretty much all money issues fall into. And if one of those is weak, your prosperity will be weak. You okay with that? So we're going to talk about this today in 3 John 2. And here's one of the reasons. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, this is John speaking to the elder, Gaius. He says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Amen. just as your soul prospers, or even as your soul prospers, or according to your soul prospering. He says, I pray or wish above all that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Amen. So here is John, allowed by the Holy Spirit to write these things, commissioned by the Holy Spirit to say to the people, I want you to prosper and be healthy. Amen. Does anybody have a problem with the healthy part? No. Doesn't that seem like a good human characteristic? A good human quality in your life to be in health. It's a good thing. He wants it for us. The Holy Spirit wants it for us. God wants it for us. You can want to be healthy.
Amen. Amen.
Same thing with prosperity. Prosperity is a good thing.
Amen.
God wants it for us. The Holy Spirit wants it for us. John wanted it for the church. You can want it for the church. That you prosper in all things. Prosperity is a desire of God for us.
Amen.
Now we need to define prosperity. Because some people think prosperity is when the uber rich consume it upon their lusts. And everybody looks real flashy and fancy and expensive. No, that's not what we're talking about. Rich does not mean $1 million. Prosperous does not mean extravagant in your spending.
Amen. Amen.
Prosperity simply just means to have a full supply. It means to have abundant supply where you never have a lack.
Amen.
What this scripture kind of distinguishes is that lack is not really the will of God. Just like sickness and ailment is not the will of God.
Amen.
If John was allowed to say this by the Spirit that he wants it, then that means the Holy Spirit wants it.
Amen.
So the will of God is that we're healthy and wealthy. Some people don't like that type. Well, that's that health and wealth gospel. Okay, you can have the sickness and poor gospel. That's not scriptural. So I want to prove it to you. Okay? We need to see the scriptures. Let the scriptures get inside of us and change us here. Because your health and your prosperity will be determined by your soul. It'll be determined by what's on the inside of you. Prosperity does not begin with a new job. Prosperity doesn't begin with new clients. Prosperity doesn't begin with winning the lottery. Prosperity doesn't begin with a bank account amount. Prosperity begins on the inside of you. Prosperity begins in the heart of a person. And until you change the heart that's in you, until you change the internal makeup of yourself, until your mind thinks properly, you're not prosperous. I don't care how much money you have. There's a whole bunch of people with big bank accounts that are still impoverished. They still have deterioration in their spirit, in their soul, in their heart concerning God and money and themselves.
Right. Right.
Turn to the book of Luke chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16, you know, this is, you know, you talk about money as people feel like it's theirs. Oh, don't talk about my money. Don't talk about my kids, my money, my spouse. Don't talk about it. What? Anything pertains to you? Yeah, just talk about spiritual things. We just want to talk about spiritual things in church. Let us handle money. We're fine with the money side. I doubt it. I doubt it. Oh no, we got the money thing covered. No, I doubt you do. Why? Because you're human, and you grew up in the world. And everybody that's human and grows up in the world needs to learn the things of God. And let it reorder what you thought you knew. Most of us grew up not thinking about money correctly. 99.9% of us, that's all of us, grew up not thinking perfectly or properly about money. I admit it. Can you admit it? That you don't necessarily have the quite godly perspective concerning money? First of all, prosperity, the word pro. And then spes is the two main Greek words that create prosperity, means to have a hopeful attitude. The word pro means looking ahead, and spes means hope. Looking ahead with hope is what prosperity is. Okay? So prosperity in its definition means to have a good attitude and a hopeful, optimistic look on the future. So all pessimists are in danger. All cynics are in danger. All pessimists are in danger of not having a prosperous mentality. And that is one of the links, having a prosperous mentality rather than a poverty mentality. That's one of the links. You must have a prosperous mentality rather than a poverty mentality. Poverty mentality looks at the lack, always sees the glass empty, always looks at the bank account and says, if we only had a little bit more. That's a poverty mentality. We're going to get into that in just a minute. The poverty mentality of the world's way is this. And the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Okay, the world's way is work hard your whole life, live in poverty, struggle to get by, work for money, pay your bills, buy liabilities, and retire with just enough Social Security to get by. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. It's the rut of got to get a job, got to make some money, got to pay the bills, got to take care of my family, and then hopefully I have enough at the end, and blah, 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 blah. That's the way of the world. We don't live that way. We got to think differently than that. Even though we still work, even though we still pay bills, we can think differently about it. And because of that, God's able to flow abundant supply toward us. I'll address those later on. A lot of people, you know, really fail in the law of responsibility. They feel like victims. People feel like victims so often. A victim of your circumstance, a victim of where you were born, of what family you were born in, a victim of the economy, a victim of, you know, somebody doesn't like me, a victim of what they did and what they didn't do, and I don't know why all these people won't hire me. Don't be a victim. Don't be a victim. Okay? There may or may not be reasons why people didn't hire you. It could be God's trying to lead you somewhere. It could be people. Hey, fine. It could be people. Could be people, not dumb. It could be dumb people. You know, when I play golf starting every late spring, I head out with my equipment and I go out there knowing what's going to happen. And it ain't pretty. And I get out there and swing a little bit here and there. But the first shot, man, it might look really good. And everybody's like, whoa, Chaz has been playing golf. And I'm thinking, wait till next shot. Because next shot, it'll be, whoa. How are we going to find that ball? It's really strange because half the shots I really look great and the other half I really look terrible. And, you know, I figured it out last year. I figured it out. It's my clubs. I need new clubs. I got to find somebody to blame. It's probably not me. I mean, come on. I'm an athlete. Of course I can do these things. But the year before, it was my shoes. And I had to get new shoes, and so this year it's my clubs. If the new clubs don't do it, it might be the hat. I don't know. The point is, you got to take responsibility and take charge of your life because you can't change what you're not responsible for. So you need to look at your financial situation and the way you're doing things, the way you're thinking about things, and realize I got to change some things. You know, the golfer who can't play golf very well, what he really needs to do, he needs to go let somebody else tell him what to do. He needs to go get trained. He needs to go spend a whole lot of time getting everything that all of his system fixed. His entire swing system, his entire thought process, his entire approach needs to get fixed by a trainer, an expert, a professional, somebody who's done it well. You don't want me training you how to play golf. What I'll do is I'll show you how to do it wrong. I'll show you how to hit every other shot fairly well. I always figured if I could just have two shots every time, one of those would probably be good. Well, that's not good golfing, right? Same thing in life. For some reason, people almost refuse to get trained in money. They live this life. They become 21, 25, 30, 40, and it's like, I'm doing everything I know to do. Well, why don't you find someone who's doing it right and follow them. Why is it so hard to follow people in the money realm? Well, I mean, there's valid reasons why. Some people are nuts. Some people are tricksters. Some people are after my money. I understand all that, but find some good godly examples of money and follow them.
Right.
Don't try to outsmart them.
Right.
Find some good godly examples of success and follow them.
Right.
Not every detail has to be followed, but principles must be followed.
Amen.
Why is it so hard to follow principles? Why do we think we're outsmarting God? We think we're outsmarting people and God, and it's weird. Let's let God train us. Let's just do it because He said. Let's do it from our heart. Prosperity is from the heart. Luke chapter 16. He's talking about money. He's talking about the just steward and the unjust steward. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, or money, or material things, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You see that? If you haven't been faithful, because some people get this mindset, you can look up here. Some people get this mindset that, you know, oh, well, you know, we come to church for spiritual things. Please don't talk about natural, material things. No, there's a connection. If you're not faithful with money, unrighteous mammon, material things, if you're not faithful to walk with God and let Him speak into your life and then obey, if you're not faithful with money, He won't give you the true riches.
Amen.
What's the true riches? All things related to the glory of God.
Yes.
We're pursuing the glory of God. This year, we're expecting the glory of God to really increase.
Amen.
You won't experience the glory of God properly if you have a wrong outlook about money. If you're not able to be faithful perfectly with money, you'll miss out on the true riches.
Mm-hmm.
If He can't trust you with just a little old thing, why would He trust you with a big old thing?
Right.
If He can't trust you to earn money properly, spend it properly, save it properly, give it properly, He's not going to give you all the spiritual riches you think you want. And I think that's one of the reasons why people don't have much of an appetite for spiritual things. They're not even faithful on the material thing. But then you got some other people that are so spiritual, they don't think God has anything to do or say about their money. No, money is actually a proving ground. How you treat something that in essence is very important to your life. Oh no, it's just spiritual things that are important. Okay, let me have your checkbook. Sign all the checks. And just give me the blank signed check. No, you're not being honest. Spiritual things certainly are most important. We are seeking the kingdom and His righteousness first. But part of the kingdom of God is His way of doing things. And one of the things that He wants to say something about is money.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes.
We're going to have to realize that money is a proving ground. How we handle money is how we handle spiritual matters. We all need to make sure that we are succeeding in the financial arena, or we could say in the business arena, or we could say at least in the productivity arena. Okay? Because, well, we'll get into that, but realize that as long as you're really productive in the earth, you're doing your job. Okay? Not everybody is called to earn money. You can be a homemaker. You can be a stay-at-home mother. You can be a retired person who's taking care of people. You can be a volunteer at church. You can do a lot of different things as long as you're really adding value and not just ducking responsibility. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous material things, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? That's a separate principle. But I want to get to verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you can't serve God and money. Your heart can't be after God and after money. It's interesting, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And then hold your place there and go to Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48 first. So as we talk about prosperity and realizing that God has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. You know, there's a scripture that says that. He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. We also have to keep, well, here's another one. Isaiah 48 verse 17. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. See that? So He has pleasure. Psalm 35, 27 says, the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. It says, let them shout for joy. Because He has pleasure when you prosper. And then you got Him teaching us to profit. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So in the middle of us determining that God is okay with us prospering, I want to give this disclaimer, all right? I see that the body of Christ has come a long way in the past 30 years because 30 years ago, people thought money was evil. They thought that having money was evil. They thought it was more spiritual to be poor than to have any money. And it was just hypocritical. It was just being short-sighted and blind to the blessing of God. So revelation began to come about it was okay for Christians to succeed and prosper and have money. But in that revelation, there was not enough warning given. And so what happened is Christians heard in church that God wants me to prosper, and so they took off all excited to go get rich. If I ask you the question, would y'all rather be poor or rich? That's a no-brainer. But that's not a good question to ask in church. If somebody asks you, would you rather be poor or rich? Your response is, I'd rather do the will of God. Amen. I'd rather just be in the will of God. How about that? And the reason is because we have a warning here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Stop there. What are you going to do with that one? Look up here. Let me tell you. With this one, this is a command that right now, whatever state you're in, be content. Whatever you have right now, you're going to have to be okay. Your soul's going to have to be happy. Right now, you're going to have to be okay. You can't be pining away for something you don't have. You can't put off your joy and your glory for when you do have something. Right now, you got to be happy. It doesn't have to wait till you get a car, a boat, a house. Right now, you're happy. You're not striving to reach some goal before you say, aha, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Think I'll go to church and serve God. No, right now you got to be full of glory. Right now you have to be all things spiritual. Right now you are called to be all in Christ that God has called you to be right now. Amen. So there is no striving for money. There's no striving for wealth. No. See, that's different than the world's way. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. And into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, or all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. You follow me? So we see the love of money is the root of all evil. How many of you love money? That wasn't a trick question. You answered properly. but do you? We're going to give you some questions to ask yourself to make sure you don't. Okay? It sneaks in on people. Real poor people say, well, I don't have any to love. You could still really love it. There's a lot of people that love a lot of things they don't have. And really, it's very high percentage of people that don't have money are lusting after it, loving it so much if they only had some. But you could also love it if you do have it. You could also love it if you only have a little. Even if you're middle income, you could still be loving money. You may not even realize it. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Think of all the problems that money has caused for people, families, inheritance money. Think of the good families split because of stuff. It's a weird thing. It's a very powerful force. You and I have to check. We have to keep it in check. You understand? But I wanted you to see this part. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. And I think this is where the body of Christ really didn't have enough warning, and they fell into desiring it. They heard you could get prosperous and that God was okay with that. They began to desire that, and that led them astray. Led them into neglecting God. Led them into neglecting the real core of the gospel. Led them into not serving God properly. Became greedy, became money lusters, doing everything so that they could get rich. Even giving became weird. Giving to get rich, giving more to get rich. It was all about getting. That's not the spiritual way.
Amen.
The spiritual way is to just give and love and give and love. However, because I'm with God and I'm following principles, I expect what He said I will have. If I follow His principles, Psalm 112 has to happen. Psalm 112? It's in the Psalms.
Amen.
Go to Psalm 112 just so you see it. You need to know these things. So here's the real paradox. In the Lord, it's okay to be rich. You just can't want to be. Do you follow that? Do you see how hard that could possibly be? It's okay to have a lot of money. You just can't want to. Psalm 112? Is that where he said? Psalm 112. Verse 1, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever.
Glory.
And the rest of the chapter is really good too. Just wanted you to see, wealth and riches are part of the righteous man's house. Well, I don't know, I don't feel too rich. Well, that's because it doesn't start with your bank account. It starts with your feeling.
That's right.
See, you have a poverty mentality. You're looking at the negative side. You don't have what you need in you from God in order to get wealth, in order to have enough. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Is it lunchtime already? Don't y'all need a little more? Don't we need a little bit more?
Yes.
Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's deal with this poverty mentality and hammer this thing out in the next 15 minutes. You think that's all it takes? Well, of course not. You got to buy the book. And if you don't have enough money, hey, look, if you're in a real tight financial poor spot, you need this book. But in your mind, you're thinking, I can't afford that book. And so we'll give it to you for free if you're so tight that you can't afford the book. We'll give it to you for free because you need this book.
Right.
Proverbs chapter 4, Verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart." What's he talking about? The words. These words are the answer. "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." "Keep your heart," or "guard your heart," the King James says, "guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life," or the forces of life. Guard your heart, for out of your heart come all the power, comes all the force, comes the issues of life. Out of your heart comes everything. Your domestic life is a result of your heart. The house you live in is a result of your heart. The people you keep is a result of your heart. The thing you build is a result of your heart. The lifestyle you have is a result of your heart. The attitude that you carry around with you is a result of your heart. You get your heart full of these truths, it'll come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and come all the issues of life. This is just a natural thing, and I'm not picking on anybody, don't know anybody, I'm not talking about anybody here, but you can go into a business, a small business or a retail center or anywhere, and you go into their offices, you'll see what's in their heart. You can go look in your own car. Now, don't be looking as you walk to church into everybody's car. But if you have so much clutter in your car that you can't find the accelerator, you have some clutter that needs to get out of your heart. There's exceptions. I'm sure there's exceptions. But for the most part, you need to be watching yourself. Hey, listen, when your soul, because of life, gets so cluttered, meaning, hey, it's not an evil thing. I'm not saying you're evil or bad or a bad Christian. I'm just saying, hey, when life's pressures get on top of you, it does something. And you can see it in the natural. And so you need to catch that sometimes and say, wait a second. I need to go spend a little extra time with the Lord to get this stuff off of me. And then all of a sudden, you start doing something a little bit more excellent in your life. Isn't that right? Matthew chapter 15 says, out of the heart proceeds evil things, evil thoughts. But it also says good things come out of the heart. And it says that good and evil shouldn't come out of the same heart. Everything comes from the heart. Joshua chapter 1 says this. Go read there. Joshua 1. When we talk about this poverty mentality, everybody say poverty mentality. Say, I got to fix my poverty mentality. Some of you didn't say it. Some people refuse to do what anybody says. I understand. But you need to admit that we have a history of poverty mentality from our childhood. Okay? here's some examples of it. If your statement in your house is, we can't afford it, you have a poverty mentality. If that's what's said, Hey, and we do this with our kids sometimes. The kid says, hey, can I have the thing? Oh, we don't have enough money. That's an easy answer, isn't it? It's an easy answer. I don't have to argue that answer. But you better quit saying that. The prosperous mentality says, if we wanted that, we could have that. Because God supplies all of our needs and a whole bunch of our wants too. Does it actually, did that statement I just said, is that true?
Yes.
Does he supply our needs?
Yes.
Does he supply our wants?
Yes.
Scripture? You got a scripture on that? See, when the preacher says something, you got to have some scripture. Don't just affirm it unless you know some scripture. And one of them that comes to my mind is, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. So yes, the statement holds, but only because there's scripture to back it. Don't just bite things hook, line, and sinker just because it sounds rah-rah-ish. Although that one was rah-rah-ish because it's true. I mean, I'm strict about this. I'm serious about this. I'm not going to say anything that can't be proved in the scripture.
Amen.
Unless I substantiate with or give a disclaimer of, hey, this is my own opinion. You don't have to take this. So far, though, I think most things I've said you aren't my opinion.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So you can't just go around thinking, well, we can't afford it. Well, I'd like to start a business, but I just don't have the money. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You're digging your hole. You're never going to get out if that's the way you think. You need to recognize that in the will of God, He'll supply your need. If starting a business is not just some strange dream, if you're not just sitting around, you know, eating too much pizza, having strange dreams, it could be the will of God. And if it's the will of God, He'll supply that.
Amen.
And then all you're looking for is the timing and the time to step out in faith. You're not looking for money. You don't look for money to decide if you're going to do something.
Right.
Kind of like when you go on vacation. Listen, this is a perfect example. Many people plan vacations, don't they? They decide months ahead of time, we're going on vacation. They don't say, hey, we're going to see if we have enough money and then we'll go on vacation next summer. Right. They don't do that. They decide, we're going on vacation, now let's start getting the money. And somehow, miraculously, there's enough money every single time. Somehow. See, it's just we have these weird priorities. We have this strange way of looking at money. Here's a way to know if you love money too much. And this is the church crowd, so it may not apply to you, but it could apply to somebody that's not in church. If we paid people to come to church, if we paid $500 every Sunday for people to come to church, would you come? Would you ever miss a Sunday if we paid $500 a pop? Would you ever miss a Sunday? Would anybody miss church? Yeah, maybe once or twice a year, you know, family things, graduation, somebody got married, had to go out. You might miss like one or two. That's it. Maybe the family vacation takes you out, but then you'd be calculating, okay, we're going to have to give up $2,000, me and the kids. People would be having more kids. People would be adopting kids, inviting the neighbors. Those are just little thoughts that I've had in my lifetime. Those are just little thoughts that help us, little questions that we can go ahead and analyze ourselves. Listen. I'm not saying you don't ever can't ever miss church and there's valid reasons. I'm saying, what value do you place on church and kingdom and the word and Christian fellowship and connection to a local church? What value do you place on it? Personally, I saw the value in month one of being in church. In the mid-90s, I saw the value of never missing church again because there's eternal spiritual value that will never fade away. In my mind and heart, I'll never miss church service ever again. And I haven't. It's been a long time. 22 years, 3 years, 4, 24 years. 24 years, I've never missed a church service. There's been exceptions when we went on our honeymoon. few things here and there, preaching engagement, sure, but I'm never just skipping church. Ever. Ever. There's not even a question in my mind. Well, yes, you're the preacher. I wasn't a preacher for several years. And I never missed church. Flew home to make sure I was in my home church. My company would fly me home every weekend. I got to go to church. Want to, got to. I don't care which one you pick. Just go. Why? So nobody's ever going to have to pay me to go to church. If y'all fired me from being the pastor, I'd still have to come to church. Oh, wait, you can't fire me. The board might could fire me, but you can't. You know what I mean? You follow me? Why? Because I have this great value, supreme value I've placed on the body of Christ. Not just God, not just Jesus, not just the Bible, but supreme value I've placed on all things related to His church, which is His body, which is the fullness of Him that fills all in all. That was just a little extra, but I wanted you to think about this money thing. There's some worldly ideas that you'll have to overcome in your life, okay? So we grow up looking at the bank account as not quite having enough. There's this one pie theory that socialists have. Do we have any socialists in here? Don't raise your hand. That was a trick question. You know, back in the old day, people really had to fight. Capitalists had to fight to get out of that dark age mentality of socialism. And now people are trying to go back into it. And you're going to hear in every election, you're going to hear the socialism word that's tried to be coined as progressivism and all this other garbage. Listen, socialism is an evil, evil, evil thing. Socialists have this one pie mentality, which is there's one pie of pizza, one pizza pie, and everybody's got to get their slice. And if you take too many slices, then that means somebody else won't get theirs. That is absolute wrong. That's not true at all. It's not historically true. It's not scripturally true. It's not true at all. There is not just one pie of wealth in the world that everybody's fighting for.
That's right.
The way that God designed the system is that one pie can be taken a piece and create a new pie out of it. And so we have a whole bunch of pies. And there'll always be more pizza pies coming.
Come on.
Yes.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
There'll always be more and more and more pizza pies that people can have a portion of. And all you got to do is compare today versus Adam and Eve. There's more wealth in people's hands today than there was when Adam and Eve were in the earth. Or Noah. Or 500 years after. There's more wealth today than there was in Israel. Why? Because Adam and Eve were told that all the gold is in the river. And all the food is in the ground. All you got to do is work. And they brought crops out of the ground and families ate. And they brought gold out of the ground. Somebody says, I want that. They said, give me some crop. And so this business system was created, which is the business system of God. All God-related wealth transfer is business-related. And so we still have raw materials in the earth. Have you noticed? Hey, I need some oil. Okay, give me some gold. So you got somebody digging gold up, bringing more wealth into the world. You got somebody digging oil up, bringing more wealth into the world, and they're exchanging it. And then somebody says, hey, I'd like some wheat. They're bringing it out of the earth. The earth is producing all the wealth, and all it takes is ingenuity and sweat and someone to want it.
Amen.
Like if you want to be wealthy, don't grow horseradish. That belongs in the ground. But if you produce something somebody wants, there's more wealth created. Every time a new human is born, there's more ingenuity now in the earth. Every time a new, and that's why as the population grows, wealth grows. So don't think that because the rich got rich, that's going to take away from me. No, they're producing stuff. They're setting up companies that I can work in. So anyway, that, I'm not, I won't get go any further in that. You get the point. Matter of fact, God likes leftovers. So if you're analyzing yourself about poverty mentality, you need to see how you feel about leftovers. Now, I'm a leftover eater. So when it comes to food, I'm a leftover eater, man. As long as it's not green and as long as it tastes the same, I'm eating it. I like to live quick, man. I like to eat quick. If I saved those chicken nuggets or chicken wings, if I saved those chicken wings in the fridge and didn't get a chance to eat them for a week, that's okay. That's why I have a microwave and ranch dressing, man. I'm eating that. So I like leftovers. God likes leftovers too. God's not afraid of leftovers. He always provides enough to have leftovers. You don't have to calculate 35 bites and then I don't want to have any leftover. It's okay to have leftovers. Go ahead and think that way. God doesn't mind the cup running over. God doesn't mind having baskets left over after we all ate, after a huge miracle. Why? I'm being a good steward, You know, we don't believe in leftovers here. We have to eat everything on our plate because of those poor people in China. They ain't so poor anymore. Those are all myths that we use to govern our lives. Well, what about the poor people everywhere? Well, the poor people in India. We got to eat everything. No, you're just making your people fat. You shouldn't eat everything on your plate necessarily. No, just throw it away. You can't box that up and send it. Just throw it away. Just be okay with you. God gave you extra. Praise the Lord. There's always extra when God's involved. That's why when we have picnics and we have fellowships, we're always adding 20%. How much should we get? We calculate how many people are probably going to come, and then we always add 20%, so we have bags to take home food. Amen. That's the way we live. That's the way we lived in the world. The coolers should never run out of beverages. That was an evil. God created everything to be filled. People say, but I don't need much. No, He created to fill it. Right, but my family doesn't need too much. No, that's a poverty mentality. He's a multiplier. The earth multiplies. Remember the barrels of oil? He said, go borrow vessels. And she came back and Elisha started pour the oil. And they poured the oil and poured the oil and poured the oil. And it was just more and more and more until the vessels ran out.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. All right, let me run through this quick list and then we'll be done. You might be a redneck. You might be a redneck list. This is for yourself, though. This is so that you can check yourself, okay? And some of it's going to be funny, some of it might be hard, and some of it might be, oh, man, can he say that in church? But you might have a poverty mentality if... Okay, and I check myself on these. I just told you the other day, and it kind of spurred me to preach on this, but the other day I mentioned how when I had the poverty mentality, if I got a new shirt, if I got a nice shirt that was kind of unique and special, I would save it. And I wouldn't want to wear it too often because, man, this is the really special shirt. And so I would wait for special occasions, and what would end up happening is I wouldn't wear it but once or twice a year. My favorite shirt. Why would you do that? Because the mentality is there's no more like this in the face of the earth ever. And I must protect it so that I don't ever run out of this. That's a poverty mentality. If you have favorite clothes, wear them. Wear them. I don't understand how come people don't wear bridesmaids' dresses every week. No, I'm just kidding. I like these days. These days people are changing and saying, hey, wear something hip and cool so you can wear it all the time instead of just wasting $1,000. You buy a brand new car. Brand new car. And it's like, don't anybody, we don't want to drive this too much. Let's take the old one. Let's take the old one and use up the old one because we don't want to use up the new one. You use the new one. You use the new one, please. Well, we can use the new one, but we take your shoes off before you get in. And no eating in my car. No eating in my... Eat in the car if you want to. Just don't drop the onions. Use it. Life is meant to be used. Money's meant to be spent. Money is a tool. Money is not to hoard and worship. Money's not to hide and just say, whoa. Money is a tool. Enjoy the things that God has given you. Now, at the same time, don't overspend. You got to be legitimate in your heart about how you spend money and about debt and all those type things. You might have a poverty mentality if you say this often, well, it'd be nice if our harvest would come in. I got news for you, it probably won't with that attitude. You might have a poverty mentality if you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Remember Jesus said that? He said, you're making a big deal about these little tiny issues, but then you're swallowing the huge issues that you ought to have a problem with. He told the Pharisees, you got all this religious stuff that you're swallowing, and then you're getting upset that I healed on the Sabbath day. That's called strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. How can we apply that? Well, if you sit there and argue 10 minutes about a fast food hamburger that they overcharged you on, but then when you get your IRS refund check, you gobble it all up in about 2 weeks, you have a poverty mentality. You're making a big deal over the little things, and then you're not doing what's... If you can't save some, invest some, give a tithe off of it, you're just doing whatever you want to do, and then make... You got it. Or, of course, the shampoo bottle store. You know the shampoo... How many of you don't know the shampoo bottle example? See, I knew there was a bunch of you that didn't know. You're in the shower, you're taking your, and the shampoo starts to run out, and you get to the end, and you can't get it out, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's 2 pennies worth of shampoo. I gotta be a good steward of God's shampoo. You're thinking that's just saving the family money, that's saving the family money. No, you just wasted 5 minutes. You could have been at work earning some money. Or toothpaste, you know, you can't bear to throw the toothpaste away until your fingers have bled trying to get it out. No, but I got a system, brother. It's a poverty system is what you've got. And this is how you break that. You throw out that shampoo with an inch. I heard it. I heard the gasp over there. Oh my gosh, he's... Throw out that toothpaste ahead of time. I just left a cologne bottle in Dallas that had a little few drops in. And I thought I could have less room in my suitcase or save my 2 pennies worth of cologne. That might have been a dollar. It might have been a dollar. And I just threw it away. I thought, this will help me. There's more cologne where that came from. I'm not talking about just wasteful. I'm talking about breaking the poverty mentality. When you drive around town looking for the cheapest gas, where it's like this big deal to you. Oh, it's cheaper gas. Where's the cheapest gas? Phone app, you know, cheapest gas. As long if you do that, and then you drive your 5 miles, count. You gotta subtract the 5 miles of gas that you saved, that you thought you were. You be honest. If you're gonna do this stuff, be honest with what you're costing yourself. When does time actually become more valuable than a couple bucks? I learned this with my yard. You know, I used to cut my own grass and weed eat and do my own yard. Even after we got married, I mean, dun 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 dun, I am the yard man for my wife. But then life in ministry got a lot more hectic and a lot more busy. And my the time that it was taking me to do that, it could be spent doing some other things. Sure went quiet there. And I'll tell you this, you know, you might be in one of those, well, I kind of got the time, but, you know, hey, look, maybe take a couple steps of faith in your life and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and decide to pay somebody every week. Amen. And then watch what happens to your income. Yeah. You start making decisions based on some principle like, my time is valuable. Mm-hmm. God will get involved. Amen. You might be you might have a poverty mentality. If you occasionally look at other people's lives and think to yourself, they don't need all that, you have a poverty mentality. If you look at somebody and say, they should give some of that money away, they shouldn't do that, they should. Look, that's a poverty mentality. You're being covetous. Managing other people's money is a sure sign that you have a poverty mentality. We are not allowed to manage other people's money. That's not your business. Yeah, but haven't you seen? I don't care. You better hush your mouth and get your heart right. I have about 17 more. Do y'all want to do them today or next week? We'll do the rest next week. How about that? Oh, here's one. I'll give you this one. You might have a poverty mentality if when you run across a pistachio shell that didn't have a split in it and you can't just throw it away. No. Prosperity is being able to throw away a pistachio that doesn't have a crack in its shell. You know what if you eat pistachios, you know what I'm talking about, where it just bothers you to no end that you're going to fight and you're going to get some kind of a nutcracker to get that thing open because they're not going to rob me of a pistachio.
No, I'm keeping my labor.
You got to throw that thing away. Matter of fact, true prosperity would being able to splurge on yourself at least once a year and buy a can of already open pistachios. No, we can't afford that. You can. You can. I guarantee that you've spent $10 eating out. A lot. Get you a big can of pistachio on your birthday or something. Already shelled pistachios. I think that the main thing is keep alert to when poverty mentality is sneaking up on you, causing you to penny pinch when you don't need to. Granted, there's times when you do need, there's times when things are tight. I went to college. Things were tight. I was so thankful my dad was a restaurant manager at Whataburger while I was at college. And so he would give me coupon books to help me eat at college. There's a time when your life is pretty tight. I get that. It's not a shame for that at all. Just even during that time, you can be building a prosperous mentality. You can be building a godly mentality of that God's okay with this and that He's going to supply everything that I need all my life. Amen. He's our source. He loves us. He made promises in the Bible He will not go back on. You just have to believe Him. And if you believe Him, you'll see it lived in your life. If you really believe that God's taking good care of you and that you don't have to take any thought about what you're wearing or what you're driving or the gas prices, there are some things that are kind of beyond your control, right? I mean, you have to have a vehicle to get to work. If you have to ride the bus for a little while, that's okay, but really you have to have a vehicle, especially in Houston, since there's no subway, no train system for the most part. You know what I mean? So some things are beyond your control, so therefore God will supply. Amen. You have to know He'll supply when the gas price goes up. When it goes down, He'll supply. Right. Is anybody afraid of $4 gas? No, don't be afraid of $4 gas. That's just cost of living. It's no big deal. Is anybody afraid of the Sam Houston Tollway? Buy you an easy tag. You, Listen, you need it. The poverty mentality says, well, I probably can't afford an easy tag. Oh, wait. The easy tag is cheaper than regular. The easy tag is cheaper every time you go through than it is to put your coins in. So save. Have you ever sat in line and seen all the cars going, getting to where they're going? That's the lane you want to be in. Buy yourself an easy tag and believe God that He'll take care of that payment. Well, I don't know how to do all that techie stuff. I'm sure you can figure that one out. If 80% of Houston's figured it out, I bet you could. The poverty mentality always finds an excuse, always finds a reason why this ain't going to work, always finds a way. I can't handle that. I'm too busy managing my shampoo bottle.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.